Chapter 7. It was a bitter winter. The stormy weather was followed by sleet and snow, and then by a hard frost which did not break till well into February. The animals carried on as best as they could with the rebuilding of the windmill, well knowing that the outside world was watching them, and that the envious human beings would rejoice and triumph if the mill was not finished on time. Out of spite, the human beings pretended not to believe that it was the snowball who had destroyed the windmill. They said it had fallen down because the walls were too thin. The animals knew that this was not the case. Still, it had been decided to build the walls 3 feet thick, and this time instead of 18 inches as before.
Which meant collecting much larger quantities of stone. For a long time, the quarry was full of snowdrifts and nothing could be done. Some progress was made in dry, frosty weather that followed, but it was cruel work, and the animals could not feel so hopeful as it had felt before. They were always cold and usually hungry as well. Only Boxer and Clover never lost heart. Squealer made excellent speeches on the joy of service and dignity of labor. But other animals found more inspiration in Boxer's strength and his never-failing cry of, "I will work harder." In January, food fell short. The corn ration was drastically reduced, and it announced the extra potato ration will be issued to make up for it. Then it was discovered that a greater part of potato crop had been frosted in the clamps, which had not been covered thickly enough. The potatoes had become more soft and discolored, and only a few were edible. For days at a time, the animals had nothing to eat but chaff and mangels. Starvation seemed to stare them in the face. It was vitally necessary to conceal this fact from the outside world. Emboldened by the collapse of the windmill, the human beings were inviting fresh lies out about Animal Farm. Once again, it was being put that all the animals were dying of famine and disease, and they were continually fighting among themselves.
And had resorted to cannibalism and infanticide. Napoleon was well aware of the bad results that might fall if the real facts of the food situation were known, and he decided to make use of Mr. Whimper to spread a contrary impression. Hit Herito that animals had or no contact with Whimper on his weekly visits now. However, a few selected animals, mostly sheep, were instructed to remark casually in his hearing that rations had been increased. In addition, Napoleon ordered that the almost empty bins in the store shed to be filled nearly to the brim with sand, which was then covered up with what remained of grain and meal. On what some suitable pretext, Whimper was led through the store shed and was allowed to catch a glimpse of the bins. He was deceived and continued to report to the outside world that there was no food shortage on Animal Farm. Nevertheless, towards the end of January, it became obvious that it would be necessary to procure some more grain from somewhere else. In these days, Napoleon rarely appeared in public, but spent all his time in the farmhouse, which was guarded by each door by fierce-looking dogs. When he did emerge, it was in a ceremonial matter with an escort of 6 dogs who closely surrounded him and growled if anyone came too near. Frequently he did not appear on Sunday mornings, but issued his orders through one of the other pigs, usually Squealer.